word will break through our heart, will be meaningful unto us, that wisdom of God will be ours, we'll be able to dwell in your word. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you all. Thank you, worship team. Great, great worship. I want to invite the younger crowd to come up to the front. Just like last week, the week before, if you're a little one, you can come here. Where's the wireless? Here. Okay. Can I like to keep that on? Okay. So, what do you see here this morning? What do you see, Adeline?
Two balloons.
Two balloons. Okay. Is there a difference between the balloons? Yeah. What's the difference?
One isn't going to flow and one is.
You think this one, which one won't flow? That one. This one, why not? What if I let it go? Will it go up?
No.
You're right. Which one's better? Why is it better? Why do you think that one's better? Well, why, Georgia?
Because it floats.
It floats. Okay, good. Any other reason why? Denver, okay, Adeline?
Because it's helium.
Because it's helium, and helium is better. Okay, why else is it better? Sam, any idea? How about you, Slade? Why is it better?
Because it stays high.
It stays high. Very good. Okay. So is high better? Yeah. Yeah? So can you wait till you grow higher? So what's wrong with the other balloon? What's wrong with that balloon?
There's air in.
Is that okay?
Yes.
But which one is better?
The top one.
The top one is still better. You know, I'm going to agree. And so this morning's lesson is about why it's better to be there than here. You know why the reason I'm saying that today? Because when you're, that one represents living with Jesus. That one represents walking in the Spirit. That one represents flying like eagles. And this one is like you kind of low to the ground and you only see a little bit. And from there, you get a whole different view. And you know why? Because the one up there, we're going to say, has Jesus with him. So who thinks it's better to have Jesus with him than to have this one?
Jesus with them.
Yeah. So Evan, why is it better to have Jesus with him? You're right.
I don't know.
You don't know. You ask your dad later, okay? All right. Okay, thanks, kids. Good job. You're right. So what are we going to do with the balloon later?
Pop it.
Pop it? Okay.
Give it to me.
Give it to you. All right. You can sit down now. Thank you. You know what we're going to do? We're going to keep that balloon up there. What's that?
You can
give it to me. Oh, then I have to go buy a whole bunch more to make everybody happy here this morning. Okay, you can sit down now. I know you're waiting for it to come down, so I give it to one of you. You know what we'll do? We'll just keep it floating up there, kind of like that. How's that? Okay? So if you got your Bibles, turn in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 8. For a number of weeks, I want to focus on Romans 8, draw life from it, which the whole Bible is full of life. But I believe it's also a word for 2019. So why not start off with focusing on life in the Spirit? Is that a good thing? All right. So I'm going to read Romans 8, verses 1 through 11, and we'll unpack. Well, we're actually going to back up off of that and then end up with verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And I don't know if I threw this question out here some months ago, but I know I did do it at the men's camp. So if it is, it's just repetition. The question was asked, they polled hundreds of Christians. If they were to go somewhere and could only take one chapter of their Bibles along, which would it be? Over 90% picked the very same chapter, and it's Romans chapter 8. Over 90%. But to get to Romans 8, we first got to go to Romans 7. And thank God Romans 7 is between Romans 6 and Romans 8. But in Romans 8, it begins with, there is therefore now no condemnation, those in Christ Jesus. And then my translation says, well, some of you would omit it, if you walk in the Spirit, not according to the, and not in the flesh. But who cannot identify with the Romans 7 struggle? You all can. And thank God it's in our Bibles, but it's like, why do I struggle so much? So let me ask you a question, and it may not matter, but maybe for some of you it does. And it's this question. It might be the wrong question, but I'm going to throw it out there. Do Christians still have a sinful nature? Okay, I hear yes. And I hear no's. You're in good company. This question or this topic, there is an extreme amount of, well, not multiple views, but there's many on this side and just as many on this side. And there's some really good arguments on the one side and some really good arguments on the other side. But I do believe as a man thinks, so is he. And so to a degree, it is important. Now, some of you may not get beyond here this morning. You're going to take this one home with you and bless you for doing that. You go dig it out yourself. Do we still have a sinful nature? Now, if you have an NIV Bible, you're going to likely or more likely say yes. For instance, in 7:18, it says this, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. In my translation, the NKJV, it says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Now, it is agreed upon, even by NIV readers, that is a very poor translation to use the words, in my sinful nature. And though I don't agree with the new NIV at all, they have changed the language again. I believe flesh is a more accurate depiction or translation of it. And then it's like, okay, what do you mean with flesh? So that's my finger sin? No, it doesn't. But it can be used to sin. So the question, you know, is the sinful nature and flesh, is it the same? I believe the answer is no. Now, last week I used an illustration, and I believe it was a wrong illustration. If you were here last week, I used the illustration of two dogs, the black dog and the white dog. So basically what I was saying was you've got this nature and you've got that nature. And so now you know where I have landed this week. But maybe the question is, does it matter? Does it matter whether it's one or the other? I believe to a large degree it does, because because to get to Romans 8 and everything that Romans 8 has in it, you need to know why Romans 7 is still happening in your life. In other words, Romans 7 can be easily embraced as, well, this is normal diet of Christianity, because I still have a sinful nature, so therefore, of course, I'm going to do this. And I'm not perfect yet. And so I'm going to default by this. Or you're going to say, well, if it's my flesh, and we got to go back to Romans 6, that, hey, wait a minute, maybe I've been duped. Maybe I've been told a lie. Maybe I've just believed a lie. And I have less excuse to walk in these patterns of sin than I thought. To get to Romans 8 and to experience Romans 8, to get up there and beyond, some of you are here and you think you're up there. Why do I know that? Because whatever revelation you have in God, it's like, wow, I didn't know that. I thought I'd reach the ceiling. Oh no, if I let this thing go and I have enough strength to let it go, it'll go to the ceiling, but there's more beyond that. So your experience is going to dictate what you understand of what life in the Spirit is. But to get to there is no condemnation, we need to have a pretty good grasp of Romans 7 and Romans 6. So we got to go back. Because Romans 8, 1 and 2 says it's about walking in victory. Now you know this theoretically, you know this intellectually, but practically, how often are you there? How often are you not there? And to propel you forward in walking in more of all that chapter 8 has, life in the Spirit, it may mean something different to every believer. We've been reading, we read a book, well, we always read books as elders, and then we get together and we discuss them. And we read one recently, and we met about it, and we're going to meet about this one again, because it's very, very rich. But think of this phrase in Second Corinthians 3, where it says for a Christian to go from glory to glory. Do any of you have an inkling? I'm not minimizing you. What's your understanding of that? From glory to glory, and then you go into Romans 7. Really? There is therefore now no condemnation. And then it talks about that the earth is travailing, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Brothers and sisters, God has, and you know this, God has more for us now in 2019 and beyond than we have even an inkling of. But to get there, we have to have a grasp of what precedes Romans 8. So we got to go back. So let's back up. There's phrases in chapter 6 that say this, in my translation, that we died to sin. It says, we died with Christ. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. It also says we should walk in newness of life, alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the summary verse, I believe, is verse 12, where it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Before you became a believer, you were a slave of sin. Sin was your master. You could only sin. Your best works were still tainted. It was your master. Paul writes in the beginning of Romans 6, says, now that you died with Christ, that's no longer the case. This master is no longer your master. Now you are to master sin. That's what he's saying. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. The point is, it is our obligation, or our obligation to this master of sin to obey it has ended. And you say, well, why do I struggle so much like I do? Why is it that the things that I want to do, I don't do? Why is that? I've been here all week. I've been here for a few weeks. And I haven't exited yet. And I knew that coming in here this morning, I was looking for the nice package to be able to just nicely illustrate it, and I can't. But I understand the principles, and I don't know how well I can communicate them to you. You see, positionally, you're in Christ. Positionally, you're in Christ. But your condition may show different. See, we are to make actually true what is judicially true. The more the believer is aware of the fact of his position in Christ by faith, the more it will become actually true of his condition. Now, in one sense, that's easier to do when you're in your house, when you're still in your bedroom, when you're in your Bible, when you're in prayer. It is say, yes, I get this. And then you go out and face the world, and your hand does this, and your eye does that, and your mind goes there, and your feet go somewhere else. And there your tongue spews off again, and there you're in a fight with your spouse, and there you're not honest in business, and there you withheld the truth, and there your thoughts are all crooked and warped, and you say, oh God, what a mess am I. Right? Now, I hope you believe that I do not believe in sinless perfection. But I do want to say this. We, the church of Jesus Christ, we permit sin way too easily as still a normal way of life. That's Romans 6. Consider yourselves dead, therefore, to sin. Why would you bow to a master when his power has been taken away over you? Now, Jesus says, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. I don't see too many one-eyed people here. I haven't done it. And so Romans 7 is a struggle with sin of regenerated people. The fact that I still commit sin and you still commit sin is clear from Romans 7. But then in this verse 20, says this, now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. It's like, whew, it's not me after all. And it's not. It's not you anymore. You know, it's that flesh you're dragging around. In a way it is. Think about this. When Jesus was in the garden, and he finds his closest friend sleeping, he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But you know this already. You're not off the hook. You're never off the hook. Now, sometimes it is inevitable what you get confronted with, what you're tempted with. But let's get real honest here this morning. How many of you know that if you actually go this way, you're likely going to face a temptation that used to take you down? Let me put it this way. Gail, you have temptations I don't have. I'm just going to presume that. I have temptations you don't have. And somehow they're connected to my past. Young guys, if you're dabbling in porn, or even older guys, if you're dabbling in porn, it might be a temptation for the rest of your life. If you've never dabbled in it, it may never be the temptation it is to a guy who's sucking it. If you had problem being honest with people, it might be a temptation, given the right scenario, to again be tempted. And so where you can, I believe Romans 7 says, this is reality, this is what we're going to experience. So how far can I run away from that? Because my flesh is weak when my spirit is willing. But then why would I go into the lions then and don't expect to be bitten and eaten? We have to be radical with the things that used to take us down because you're not strong enough. Oh, wretched man that I am, he says. Who will deliver me from this body of death? But thanks be to God. So you got the Spirit of God in you. But he's only allowed to operate so much. When God says every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is accessible to you. This is where we are. Now we're on a good run. We actually go all the way up. It's walking in the Spirit. And you think you've hit, wow, life is grand, and it is. But glory to glory is infinite. Glory to glory to glory, from faith to faith, from grace to grace, from glory to glory, it's infinite. And we too often, we settle way down over here. We have Jesus, my sins are forgiven, and it's like the Spirit gets locked up. And the flesh gets to reign as if it's the greater power. Romans 6 says, your old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross. It wasn't just your sin that was nailed to the cross, but your old self died there too with him. In order that your body, which is the instrument of sin, is no longer under the reign of sin. Now, maybe that understanding doesn't help you, but it helped me. Whether one or two natures doesn't change anything for you, but I know what you can identify with is Romans 8 verse 1. This morning, you're either walking in condemnation or no condemnation. It's one or the other. You're either walking in condemnation because of shame, of guilt, of broken promises, of disappointments. You're here, but really you're unreachable. Condemnation. And the devil knows it. Because if he can keep you condemned, he'll keep you down here. As long as you walk in condemnation, the rest of Romans 8 makes no sense at all. Oh, you read it and it's like, man, one day when I die, I'll be with Jesus. No. Romans 8 was written for today, for every believer. And so the shame has to go. The guilt has to go. The self-condemnation has to go. Disappointments in self have to go. It has to go. And when the new one comes, it can't be added. It can't be taken on. Now, there is such thing as ramifications or consequences to sin. Don't ever underestimate when you give in what it does to your communion with God. But it says, according to Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a fib. It doesn't exist. So let me say to you this morning, for those of you who have even an inkling of condemnation, you've been duped. Come on, you're duped. Or Romans 8:1 is a lie. There is no condemnation. It doesn't exist on God's radar. It's not on his records books. It's not before Jesus. It is covered by his blood. There is no condemnation. But if you walk in condemnation, can you soar like an eagle? Are you a good encourager when you're self-condemned? Are you much of a light or salt? Or you say, you know what, I know I'm forgiven, but one day, you know, in 10 years, you know, whatever I've left in life, 20 years, then I'll finally be rid of this body of death. I'm going to say, stop it right today. In this room, stop it. Repent of your sin of self-condemnation. Because it says this in verse 2. For the law, here's the why, for the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus. It has made me free from the law of sin and death. Another translation says this. Well, the gospel doesn't pronounce condemnation. The power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Why? Because you are in Christ Jesus. We so easily go back to the law. It's so natural, and once our flesh is so natural, our mind is so natural to go back to the law. I haven't done this, and I haven't done that well enough, and I failed here again, and I'm still doing this, and I'm still thinking of that. Oh, man, what a mess am I. Let me give you two simple words this morning. Just stop it. Romans 7 is not normal for a regenerated person. I'm not saying you're never there, that the things you don't want to do, you do. But when the Spirit is not allowed to reign, that's where you're going to be. But it should no longer be normal. And the longer you live as a Christian, the less normal even than that. And I'm not preaching sinless perfection. Why shouldn't you all walk in your anointing? Come on. Why shouldn't you be able to taste of God's glory and be a vehicle of it? You're in Christ Jesus, a Jesus who makes a difference in your life, not just salvation. Our time is up already. So, question: how much of the life of the Holy Spirit do you think is operating in you? How much? On a good day. How much? Not as much as you want. Thank you, Gail. Not as much as is available to you. 5%? Okay, so we're down here. I think it's 18 feet to the ceiling, so I got to go way down here, Peter. 1 foot off the ground. And you want to settle there? You want to live there? You want to stay there? Then stop condemning yourself. Maybe the devil isn't as busy as we think he is, but maybe he's also working overtime this week. There's times he is. Someone asked me one time about temptation. It was about lust, temptation. How would he overcome that? And what I think became clear to this young individual was, just because a temptation was there doesn't mean he'd sinned. You see, there's a difference. Just because a temptation is there, men, to take a second look. Just because a temptation is there, ladies, to give some juicy gossip, which us men can do as well just as easily. Just because a temptation is there to shout off or spout off doesn't mean you've sinned. Don't just own everything as it came from inside of you. Just don't. Stop. You have no idea how much he's bombarded you from the outside. And the devil loves it to stay hidden as if it's not him, but it is his voice. What did Cam say this morning? And you're going to lead worship? Where did that come from? Not from within. Thank God he didn't give into it. So where are you? Where are you? Come on, let's go. Up, 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 up. The Christian is not to live his life in the flesh. Never. The Christian is to life in the Spirit, more and more and more. And yeah, sometimes we dip. You think I'm back up? Go. Go. Soar. Soar like an eagle. It's not you anyway. It's finally letting his power and his life flow through you. And in that, he's glorified. In that, he's exalted. In that he is praised, in that his name is made known, and in that other people are drawn into the kingdom of God. So what's required to live Romans 8:1? I believe it's a proper understanding of Romans 6 and 7. I do not believe personally that the old nature is still there and so on. It's like, okay, who am I going to feed most? No. It doesn't exist. Pretend like it doesn't exist. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll starve the flesh. If you used to be an alcoholic, and a temptation is there really strong at times when life gets rough, just go around a street where there's a liquor store. Come on. You know, you name the temptation. If you know your trigger points, why would you go there thinking that today I'm probably strong enough? And for some of you, it means turning off social media a little more. And for some of you here, it means turning off social media during while I'm speaking. And you wonder, where God, where are you? He has everything available to you, but he's not doing it for you, though he's in you. Amen. We're going to do communion this morning, and I get to lead it. And I'm going to read the passage out of 1 Corinthians 11,